I'm here with Reggie Garcia, clemency lawyer, and we wanted to talk about Amendment 4. And when voters were given the amendment in front of them, you can go ahead and read it off the paper if you want of what it said, but exactly what was the definition in what people actually voted on?
Amendment 4, which is now as of January 8th, is embodied in the Constitution as part of Article 6, Section 4. So what it said before, you were disqualified from voting, and now it says, any disqualification from voting arising from a felony conviction shall terminate, that's important, shall, the word shall, and voting rights shall be restored, again, the word shall, upon completion of all terms of sentence, including parole or probation. Then there's an exclusion. No person convicted of murder or a felony sex offense shall be qualified to vote until restoration of civil rights is done, which is the normal executive clemency process.
Now, the way I see it, that's three parts now. So we have murder. One, we have to say, find out what is murder. What is a sexual offense, a felony sexual offense? And also, when is restitution and completion of sentence? At what point is that? Now, the completion of sentence, like you said, in clemency, sometimes people will get up there, they'll still owe court fees and other fees, but sometimes they are exonerated. Now, what you're saying is, or it seems as if all those costs will be included, court fees and other fees included until, you know, as a completion of sentence. Is this, I guess, unheard of, or is this anything new?
Well, number one, I think everybody's trying to do the right thing. I don't think that any of the members of the legislature, the House or Senate, are trying to undo the will of the voters. Because the buzzwords now in the Constitution say upon completion of all terms of sentence, to me, the sentence is literally the court record. There's a document. Usually it's a plea, but if there's a trial and a guilty verdict, then there's something called a judgment and a sentence. And the sentence is literally a legal document in what's called the Florida Rules of Criminal Procedure. And it has 15 or 20 categories, either the clerk or the judge. They literally check which ones are available. Now, what did the constitutional amendment say? It said including parole or probation. Parole is very misunderstood. It was abolished by the legislature in 1995. So there's 4,000 or 5,000 current state inmates that are eligible for parole, but that's a very small number of people. Probation, we have somewhere between 1.4 and 1.7 million convicted felons. Many of those got probation instead of state prison. That's a good thing. Many of them got probation instead of county jail, which is usually a year or less, and that's a good thing. So probation, according to the Constitution, definitely has to be completed. And the sentence has to be completed. The question then becomes, was restitution part of probation? Often it is. Were court costs or fees part of probation? Often it is. The other wrinkle is when court costs are reduced to what's called a civil lien or judgment, I would make an argument that's no longer part of the criminal sentence. So while you may still owe some court costs or fees if they've been reduced to a civil judgment, I would argue they're no longer part of the criminal sentence and shouldn't act as a bar to voting.
And by definition, I know you have the book out here, murder and felony murder are different things, or felony attempted murder, I believe. In one of the versions, they include attempted murder, but that's not really what the voters' intent was if you read what the amendment was.
Right. And again, you know, most people just say, what does the Constitution say? Literally, what are the words? So again, it said, no person convicted of murder or a felony sexual offense shall be qualified to vote until restoration of civil rights, meaning they're not eligible for this new automatic procedure. They have to go through clemency, which is what I've done for 25 years before four governors. So in that case, and I think there's good parts of the House bill and good parts of the Senate bill, and I think it'll be a nice marrying of the two in the middle. But the House, I think, does a tighter job of defining murder, exactly what it is, what's called Chapter 782.04 in the homicide chapter. We've got the big brown law books out. And the Senate, I think, has an expansive view of murder, which maybe goes a little beyond the language in the Constitution and the voter intent, because it equals attempted murder and it equals manslaughter. And to me, those are just simply separate crimes that the legislature has defined. They're literally separate crimes in the statute books, and they have different elements.
And now a lot of people morally can come up with the conclusion as to why somebody would include attempted murder. I guess the funny thing is we have to stick to, like, what it says, what the amendment said and what voters' intent is and what the Constitution dictates everything. And for when it comes to sexual offense, that's not in the Constitution, I believe, correct?
Well, actually, felony sexual offense is now part of the Constitution because it was part of the words in Amendment 4, and it's now part of what's called Article 6, Section 4. And in that sense, it wasn't defined. I think both the House and Senate do a good job of just going in and cross-referencing existing law for felony sex convictions.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.